our second stage of the Seder, moving right along after last night. And the truth is, the next two stages of the Seder, the Urchatz and the Karpas, are some of the more halachically difficult in terms of the Seder, even though they're actually the two stages that Davka like apply straight throughout the year. There, as we're going to see, there's not that many particular dinim to the Seder, and traditionally, like, these two stages are the most surprising in terms of like actually understanding what they're all about and what we're doing. The source of doing that, what's called an urchatz, of washing your hands. Right? So everyone learns from the time they're in kindergarten. You wash your hands without making a bracha, etc. And as my son came home today, Yecheskelev, telling me that he learned about urchatz, washing without a bracha today in cheder. So I mentioned his nakiu. That's what we're learning tonight in shir. And he like very surprisingly said, well, like, you know, if I know that already, what do they need to know? Like, what's the big deal, etc. So as we'll see tonight, there is like a little bit more to know about it than that, but unfortunately, many of us do remain in our gan mentality when it comes to urchatz. There's a lot of sugyas. Halavai, we should at least be there. The Gemara tells us of kuvtes vavam and aleph in Pesachim. You have the quote is quoted for you in front of you. Reb Oshia. Oshia tells us a halacha. Kol shetibula b'mashke, any food that was dipped in a liquid, tzarech netilas yadayim. You have to wash netilas yadayim before you eat that food. Now, why is that true? So first of all, we should note, before we understand why that's true, that Rav Oshia's halacha here in the Gemara is not particularly sort of specifically related to the Seder Shal Pesach. It's a halacha that Dover Shetibula B'mashke, Kol Shetibula B'mashke, Sora Netilas Yadayim. You have to wash Netilas Yadayim. How come? So here there's a rather long but very important like explanation of halacha, why we have to do that. And if you understand like the background, the whole sugi of urchatz will make a lot more sense. We know that the din is basically like this. That the whole point of doing a netilas yadayim in general, the reason why we ever wash netilas yadayim, was a chazal made a gezeira. It's only midrabanan from Shlomo HaMelech, the netilas yadayim. Chazal made a gezeira that we want people to become familiarized. We want people to be used to some of the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. To say something negative, but this is one of, at least in my mind, one of the classic examples where, like, something it just didn't really work. Like, no one really knows why they wash Netilas Yadayim. The whole point seems to have been lost on us, but we should learn about Netilas Yadayim. And the idea was like this. So we're going to start with Netilas Yadayim, by bread, and that'll be the lead into understanding what happens over here also. Right, by bread, we know the concept of Netilas Yadayim is explained by various Rishonim in Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuvav, Maseches Yadayim in the beginning. Is based on a very, very simple kind of a chashas. Truma, we know, is something that's very susceptible to becoming tameh. Now, not only can truma easily become tameh, we'll explain what that means in a second, but there's bedavka mitzvah in the Torah of making a mishmeres, of making a safeguard to prevent a truma from becoming tameh. There's a particular mitzvah in the Torah that have to do things that go above and beyond like normal is a tar, is a tummy. We have to make sure and guarantee that truma doesn't become tummy. A mitzvah daraisa, mishmeres trumosai. Now, the chazal, in order to facilitate that mitzvah a little bit more, made a takana. Truma, as opposed to regular chulin, can become tummy much easier. What does that mean? Let's say I have a person who becomes tummy. I touch a sheretz, right? So sheretz, we all know some of the basic rules. A sheretz is what's called an avatuma. I touch the sheretz, I become what's called a rishon latuma. Very good. If I touch the table right now, what happens to the table? Table becomes 100% absolutely tar. The table is not tummy at all. Why? Because a Rishon Latuma has no ability to make something that's chulin into a sheni. When you're dealing with mundane things that are chulin, the most it can become tummy is a Rishon, period. That's the way it is. However, Truma is a little bit more than that. Truma can become a sheni. You can be mitame things that, when it's Truma, will become tummy, whereas when it was chulin, it would have remained a tahar. Right now, that's one of the chumras that we have by truma. What that would mean is, in our example, if I touch the dead sheretz, I become tummy. When I was to go touch the truma would become tummy, whereas other things wouldn't end up becoming tummy. Now, There is an additional rule when it comes to truma. The truma can also become, the Chazal speak about the idea of a shlishi. It can be a third level of tuma also, a shlishi. Now, we're not going to get into all the pratim what that means exactly, but let's suffice it to say that truma would be able to become a shlishi latuma. If I was to become tummy from the frog, from the dead sheretz, I would become a rishon. I touch something else, whatever it was, that would become a sheni. However that happened, the sheni touches the truma, that truma can become a shlishi. Now, Chazal told us that we have the following rule. Here's where it gets a little tricky. Up until now, it's all been nice and easy. Here's where it starts to get a little sticky. These are things right over here, your yadayim. The Chazal have a rule that stam yadayim, or shniyosein, your average pair of hands, meaning to say hands, like when you have hands emanating from the ends of your arms, those things that you call hands are shniyos letumah midrabanan. What that means is that when your hands touch anything like this, when you just go touching things, touch, nothing's going to happen, because the sheni can't give over its tumma when you're dealing in the world of chulin. However, truma, we said a second ago, can become a shlishi. If my hands were ever to touch something that was truma, the truma would automatically become tame midrabanan. It would become a shlishi, because there's only gezeira that my hands are assumed to be a sheni. Why are my hands assumed to be a sheni? The Chazal give us the famous rule, yadayim askana yosein, which means what? Your hands move around all over the place. You just take a little quick sweep around the room over here. You have many, many different people doing many different things with their hands. Many of them actually totally unaware of what they're doing with their hands. Their hands just seem to do things subconsciously. They might be paying attention, but more often than not, they're just whatever it is. Your hands do things. So Chazal were afraid a little bit that your hands might have touched something that was tummy. You wouldn't even know it if your hands touched something that was tummy. So we assume the chumra that your hands are tummy. They gave them the din of shniyos. Now, Chazal then therefore came along and said like this. In order to make sure that everyone is extra specially careful about this, about making sure their hands don't go around touching things that are truma, making them tummy, they made a gezeira, a very, very limited gezeira. And that was as follows. Whenever a person sits down to eat bread, why when they sit down to eat bread? Bread being the primary grain product. Grains being one of the most common things that float around the country. One of the most normal foods that are there. So therefore, grains would have been a very popular thing to be giving truma from, because there are so many of them floating around the country. Eretz Chitu, Sora, etc. So Chazal goes there that before you sit down to eat bread, now even though this is a little bit counter-logical, why? Because theoretically, if I'm really looking at the bread as if it would have been truma, anytime I even touch bread, I should have to be metahir in my hands. That far Chazal didn't want to go. That's a tirchi yaseira. What they did say, though, is anytime you sit down to eat bread, you have to go through the following process. If the bread was truma, right, and again, grains are very popular, bread would have been a very popular truma thing to have. So if this would have been truma, my hands would have touched that bread, the truma bread would have become tummy. That would be a bad thing. So Chazal made a gezeira. Before you sit down to eat bread, you have to wash netilas yadayim.
Wait, the bread truma?
No. Any person who sits down, in order, again, to emphasize and to chazer in our minds the concepts of truma, in other words, when you wash, you're supposed to know that you're washing because your hands are shniyos. If this is truma, the sheni would make a shlishi, but truma, like I said, you've never heard that before in your life. So the point sort of got missed over here in terms of what the gezeira was. But from now on, when you wash netilas yadayim, you'll be aware of what exactly it is that you're doing.
Just to remind us.
That's right.
Right.
On a halachic level, that's what netilas yadayim is. Because when you have truma sitting in your house, you also have to watch out for that.
But you have a certain pile of grain, you need truma from it yet. You have to tell me you touch it. But you know, skepticism is something that touches truma.
At that stage in the pashas is not makabel to me. Now, that's when it comes to netilas yadayim by bread. By the same token, you take a look in the Rashbam over here on the Gemara, you don't have it printed in front of you. The Rashbam explains like this. So why is it that Rav Oshia tells us a halacha when you have a something that was dipped in a liquid that you have to wash netilas yadayim? This is going to be the most trickiest part, the trickiest part of the netilas yadayim discussion. It works like this. You have to, for me, who's not not good at numbers, this is actually fairly easy because the math is backwards. For most people who are good at counting, you have a problem with this. The rule is like this. We all know when you count, you go 1, 2, 3, right? That's a simple thing. You don't have to go more than that. Classically, my hands that are shniyos, if they were to touch truma, the truma would become a A shlishi. Two goes into three. Very good. I'm emphasizing that even though that's obvious, because it's not going to be so obvious anymore in a second. There's another gezeira that Chazal had, which we won't explain exactly the background for. Excuse me. Chazal told us as follows. That anything, I'll say it in Lashon HaKodesh, and then we'll repeat it in English. I call a posel is a truma. Any kind of tuma that could be pasel, that could make truma, tummy. In other words, a sheni, which would have the ability to make a shlishi by truma, that's metameyas a mashkin liyos tchila. That makes a liquid into a rishon latuma. Watch what that means in a practical sense. If my hands, which are shnios, were to touch truma, the truma would become a shlishi. Right? Then my hands have the ability to be metame truma. The Lachan now says like this, Mishnah Meseches Taros as well. If my hands are going to touch a liquid, some water sitting on the ground, the liquid does not become a shlishi, two going to three, but rather the liquid, even if it's a chulin liquid, becomes a rishon latumah. You go backwards. Two, a sheni, when it touches a liquid, the liquid automatically revorts back to being a rishon. Now that is very, very... What? Well, chulin things can't become a person can't be mekabel tuma from a liquid like that. You wouldn't have a problem. Theoretically, right? That's exactly the point. Now, lamashal, right? Let's take this now one step further. So, Rav Oshia tells us over here that Chazal made an additional gezeira, very very simple. Once you have the background, remember the whole idea of washing the tilos yadayim when it comes to truma, when it comes to bread, is this gezeira teach us certain things about the dinim of truma. So here, Rav Oshia adds one more detail. My hands that are going to touch an apple, I was dipped in liquid. I washed off an apple. I wanted to get the whatever it is, the different sprays off the apple. And the apple is still wet. My hands are a sheni. My hand touches the liquid that's on the apple. What happens to the liquid? The liquid becomes a rishon. The rishon makes the food into a, and food makes the food into a sheni. Had I touched the apple with my hands alone and the apple was chulin, nothing would have happened to that apple. It can't become tummy. But since my hands are touching the liquid, and the liquid becomes a rishon, the liquid on the apple makes the apple into a sheni, Chazal instituted an additional gezeira of netilas yadayim, again, to guarantee that we're going to become more used to the dinim of tumah v'tara as they would apply to truma. And we have to wash on something that's called a davash etibula b'mashka. That's the basic background of washing. Now, whatever the reason why Chazal instituted dipping a piece of vegetable in liquid by the Seder, we'll come to a little bit later. But bottom line is, there is such a thing called karpas. And when you eat the karpas, you do dip it in liquid. Okay, wait a couple of minutes, we'll find out more about that. Because you're eating the karpas, which is dipped in liquid, we fall back on the classic halacha that says, we have to wash netilas yadayim. That's the way it works. Now, along comes Tosis over there in that Gemara. The Kuftes Vavim Amid Beis. It's a long Tosis. Starts on Amid Arab, but extends onto Amid Beis. The very end of the Tosis points out like this. He says, You know what? He feels, Tosis says, that Bizman Azim, we're not makbid on any of the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara anymore, that this particular element of Netilas Yadayim, of a Dover Shetibulo B'mashka, something that's dipped in liquid, is not applicable anymore Bizman Azeh. There's no reason to wash on a Dover Shetibulo B'mashka. Back then, when you had all these complicated dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, you would wash. Today, you don't do it at all, Tosa says. The whole thing doesn't apply. Therefore, Tosa says, if someone who does want to wash, for whatever the reason would be, they chalil of a chas, Tosa says, can't make a bracha on that netilas. That would be a bracha of a tal, because there's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv to wash. For whatever reason, the person did it, the Tosa says, you have to make sure not to make a bracha. Now, take a look at the Rambam. That still doesn't yet explain our version of the urchat by the Seder. The Rambam brings down the dinam over here. Brings down the halacha. A person has to wash when he eats bread, etc. Alpha pisha pas chulin, even though the pas is regular food. Alpha pisha ein yod of meluchlochos ve'ein yodei lehem tumo, even though his hands are clean, he doesn't think they're tummy. Lo yochalat sheyitol shtei yod of, you can't eat the bread until you wash your hands. Ve'chein kol dover shetibulo b'mashkin, anything that would have been dipped in liquids, tzorech netilas yidayim tchila, you have to wash the Tilos Yidayim as well. Right? The Rambam points out that both Gezeiros are 100% enforced Bizman. As you have to wash even our Dabash Tibula, but Mashkin, not like the Sheet of Tosis. And Alacha Beis, the Rambam brings down the Kitzer, Kolonota Yadar Bein the Achila Bein the Kriyashma Bein the Tfil. If you do do the Tilos Yidayim, Mevarich Tchila Sher Kiddushom is a Sovet Tzivono on the Tilos Yidayim, you have to make a Bracha. Now, very simple, not even a Diyot, but we'll call it a Diyot, a very simple point at least, within the Rambam. According to the Rambam, when a person washes on a Dovashi Tibula Bamashka, does he make a bracha beforehand, yes or no? Yeah. 100% yes. But he says you have to wash, anytime you have to wash on a Lacha Beis, you have to make a bracha, right? Because according to the Rambam, this is still the regular, classic Dovashi Tibula Bamashka of the Gemara, not like Shita's Tosis, it's still applicable Bizman Azeh, the same way you do Natilas Yidayim on Brit. Now, what? We don't hold like the Rambam, do we? Beautiful question. So let's see. So along comes the Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Kuf Nun Chesiv Dalar will be visiting the Shulchan Aruch himself this coming Shabbos, Be'ezus Hashem. Along comes the Mechaber, in the very beginning of Hilchos Tilas Yadayim, and says like this, Halacha L'maisa, Im Ochel Dover Shetibulo B'meshkin Chaber, we're going to do a lot of this inside, because these are dinim that, as we just experienced, many of us are not 100% familiar with. If a person eats a food that was dipped in one of the following seven liquids, shesimanam, the famous way to remember the liquid is, I'm sure everybody knows this, the what? Yad shochad dam. You take a look in the parentheses, they explain to you what all the Rashi tables are for. Yayin devash shemen chalav tal dam in mayim. If you have the food dipped in any one of those things, the loneliness nagave, and the food was not yet totally dried off. In other words, there's still a possibility that you might touch the food and again go through that whole process of the shnias, making the liquid a tchila, a rishon going and being metame the food. Afilo en yadav nogas b'makom hamashke, even if your hands are not actually touching where the liquid is, nevertheless, sarach netila, the la bracha, you would have to wash without making a bracha. Why don't we make a bracha? So here the Mishnah Berurah points out, since it's a machlokas in Rishonim, well, Tosis in the Rambam, whether or not the din of Dovashit Tibula Bamashka applies Bizman Azeh, so we're machmir in both directions. We're chayiv to wash, we're chayiv meikar din to wash, but nevertheless, we don't make a bracha in deference to the sheet of Tosis. We wash without a bracha. Now, along comes many of the Mefarshim over here in the Shulchan Aruch and have a long discussion about the nature of this Dovashit Tibula B'mashka. If you look in the Marmar Komas in front of you, we noted there's a Taz over there in Sivkan Vav. The Shabura quotes a Taz as well. Well, the Taz points out that this is a tochacha megula, he says. This is a very clear rebuke, this halacha, to the many, many people who are not makbid on washing on a davashit tibula b'meshke, which l'maisa the Shulchan Aruch says a person has to do. L'masha, just to throw out a couple of those dinim, right, a very famous thing when you're kids, you dip like your milk, your cookies in milk, like that kind of a thing, right? That's a classic davashit tibula b'meshke. Chalav is one of the zayin mashkim. A person dips his cookie in milk and wants to eat the cookie afterwards, he has to wash. And a Tilas Yidayim, a person washes off an apple, we gave the example beforehand, and doesn't dry the apple 100%, there's still liquid on the apple. So you chayiv in a Tilas Yidayim before the apple is eaten. Again, you don't make a bracha before the Natilas, by the Natilas Yidayim, but you're still chayiv to wash nonetheless. For some reason, Jews have like a phobia of washing. It's like something like people bothers people to do. It's really not a big deal to pour water on your hands. That is certainly the halacha as Paskin over there in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what we do. Now, we should note, before we get into questions about that, Mishnah Berurah points out that the bottom line is we know that many people are not makbid about washing on a Dovashit Tibula B'mashka. That I'm sure we all know many of those people as well. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out that, listen, the bottom line is, he says as follows, for those who are like, try to be halachic Jews, the Mishnah Berurah says that you certainly should make sure to wash. Person should make sure to be mekayim that halach as all those others in the Shulchan Aruch. However, he says, and it's a very important stem thing to know, he says, since there are Rishonim who say that it's not applicable anymore, Bizman Hazeh, says you shouldn't go yelling at those people who are makel about it. Those who are makel and don't do it have what to be so make on. You shouldn't make a stink about it. If you see your parents or somebody, don't go tell them, oh, you're doing something wrong. You're going to burn because you're not washing on your apple. There are days in Rishonim that say you don't have to. and it's a fairly popular kula to rely upon. And the Mishnah Berurah says anyone who wants to try to be makpid on the dinim as best as possible, as presented in Shulchan Aruch, certainly should make sure to wash as per the psak of the mechaber. Now, we'll take just a second, and we'll take questions. Yeah.
The Shulchan Aruch, I feel like, even if they don't touch it, so if you're eating something before it, you would still have to wash.
So that's a very good question. The lamasha. Let's not go for a fork. Let's go for a bowl of cereal. Cereal with milk, which a person eats in the morning. Milk is one of the Zion mashkim, right? A person's eating their, what do we have? Cereal, whatever kind of cereal. I don't know, I forgot what all the different cereals are. Right? A person's eating their eshbal in milk. It's all like an Israeli. And it's a double shetibul of a mashka. You have to wash before you eat a bowl of cereal. You're all going to say, I've never seen anyone do that before in my life. I've never seen anyone do that before in my life. Which is usually not really such a good response, because so what? In this case, there's actually a reason for it. As the Mishnah Berurah explains, that those foods which definitionally, always, categorically, eat with a utensil, which you just never touch at all, those kinds of things that there's no gezeira of davar shetibula b'mashke on. Since you push a donut, you don't eat the cereal with your fingers. There's no davar shetibula b'mashke. When you eat soup, now the soup is liquid with potatoes in it. You don't have to wash on their soup, because you don't ever eat the soup with your fingers. It doesn't work like that. Foods which go either way, sometimes yes, sometimes no, you would have to wash for it. If it's something that can be either or. For example, one of my favorite examples, a pickle, right? Everyone's seen pickles before. A pickle is a davar shetibula b'mashke. You pull it out of a little jar. The jar is 90% water or some other junk that's thrown in there, but it's basically a jar of water, despite what they might call it on the label. And if you read the label carefully, you see it's just a jar of water with green food coloring in it, basically. And the pickle is a davar shetibula b'mashke. You have to wash when you eat a pickle. I might pick up the pickle with my fork, like the little Nathan's pitchfork you get to eat the thing, whatever, if you know what that is. And you shouldn't, but if you do, that's how you eat a pickle. But it doesn't really matter that you might pick up the pickle with your Nathan's little pitchfork, because it's certainly normal for people to munch on pickles with their fingers. So that's one of the examples of a common example that where we don't think about the concept of a davar shetibula b'mashke. Yeah.
Yeah. Do all the halachos of regular tefillah apply, two times or three times?
Washing like normal, right? 100%.
The whole reason we stopped it was because we're not makbid in Tumat Taira. So how come by lachem we're any more makbid?
It's a little tricky. Basically, what Tosis would tell you is that the lechem is a direct truma thing, and this is not a truma issue, but a tumah v'tara issue. It's a later, separate kind of a gezeira. There was a bioshi as an amora in the Gemara, right? So we don't find it in the mishnayos themselves that you have to wash for this. So Tosis looks at it. That's a separate concept. That's just a tumah v'tara chashash, and that doesn't apply. The other rishonim look at it as part of the regular netilas yadayim din. Now, that with that background, we come to the next stage of the Seder, the Urchatz part of the Urchatz part of the Seder. We say like this. Now here we have to get a little bit more of the halachas down pat. The Mechaber Paskin is in Tav Ayin Gimel. This is jumping into Hilchas Pesach again. Nota Yadav Litzorech Tibul Rishon. The person that washes his hands for the sake of the first dipping. V'lo yuvarech ala natila. You don't make a bracha. Yikach me a karpas pachos me kezayis metabel b'chometz. You take the karpas, you dip it in the salt water, the vinegar. You make a bracha, etc., etc. Now, that halacha as is, we might have guessed, is now in light of the Gemara and the Rishonim that we just saw, a very normal kind of a thing to do. I'm eating a potato dipped in salt water. Okay, so I have to wash. Davar shetibula b'mashke. I would wash for milk and cookie. I would wash on a pickle. So I have to wash on a potato dipped in salt water also. However, which would mean basically that the urchatz is just a classic, nothing unique to the Seder, a classic thing. It's the halacha. When you eat matzah, you have to wash netilas yadayim. And each year, your karpas, you have to wash netilas yadayim as well. However, that's not so pashut. That's not so simple. For the following reason. If you take a look over there in Siman Kuf Nun Ches, back in the Netilas Yadayim Siman, the Shulchan Aruch brings a debate, even about bread. I have to emphasize the debate, but Ikaro is about bread, and the Mishnah Berurah, as well as all of the poskim between the Shulchan Aruch and him, and certainly later poskim, discuss whether or not or how far we make the comparison between the dinim of Netilas Yadayim for bread and the davar shetibula b'mashke about the following area. Everybody knows at this stage in the game, now that you've been learning for an entire
24 minutes,
you know, however long it's been, many months of Hasmada Rabbah, everybody knows that the minimum shear of a food, of an ochel, so that the ochel can contract a tumah, is how much? Huh? It could be beautiful. Kebetza, very good. Very good. On the first try, even. That's impressive. Everyone knows. And how much is a kebetza?
The size of an egg.
The size of an egg. That's very good. Very good. So now, beautiful. So everybody knows that the minimum shear of an ochel, so that the ochel can be mekabel tumah, is a kebetza. Now, if you stopped and thought about it for a mere second, that's all we expect. If a person would stop and think about it for a mere second, you would make the following deduction. The whole reason why I'm washing, right, and the whole reason why I'm washing for bread even, is because we don't want me to get used to having my tummy hands touching truma, making the truma tummy. But if I had a piece of truma that was yay big, a kazayas of truma, and my tummy hands touched the truma, what happened to that truma? Absolutely nothing, right? Because it doesn't have the shear of an ochel to be makabel tumah. So many rishonim of the opinion, we happen to not paskin like this when it comes to bread, but many rishonim are of the opinion, if you're eating bread less than a kibetza, you don't have to wash netilas yadayim, right? Because the whole thing doesn't apply. You couldn't make the bread tummy anyway. You couldn't make it tummy anyway. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like the rishonim that say that the gezeira was made unequivocally across the board. You wash netilas yadayim anytime you're eating bread, even though technically speaking, your hands couldn't make the bread tameh, even if the bread was truma. You wash anyway in the Tilas Yadayim. There is one thing, again, many people are unaware of. Again, the Shulchan Aruch brings the beginning of Kuf Nun Ches, where we do rely on those Rishonim. What would be the din? Everybody, I'm sure, knows as well. What's the din if you're eating bread less than a kezayah, less than a kebetza? Do you wash the Tilas Yadayim? First of all, we just said 100%. You make a bracha on the Netilas Yadayim?
No.
Absolutely not. Beautiful. I led you right into that. Right. You don't make a bracha on the Netilas Yadayim. Why? Since many of the Rishonim hold you shouldn't be washing anyway. It's true we're machmir to wash, but a bracha we don't make me suffic. Unless you're having two slices of bread minimum, you wouldn't wash on whatchamacallit. You wouldn't have to make a bracha rather on the Netilas Yadayim. You have to be aware. Not every time that you pour water over your hands are you chayiv to make a bracha before, and you have to make sure you're eating a minimum of a kibetza. Now, that's true by bread. The Mishabura points out that when it comes to Davashi Tibula Bamashke, here everybody agrees that we're a little bit more makel in terms of when we have to wash. A little bit more makel. If a person is eating less than a kezayas of a Davashi Tibula Bamashke, he 100% does not have to wash. Less than a kezayas, not a kibetza, less than a kezayas. We paskin that there's no halacha of netilas yadayim. Again, the Mishabura at the very beginning of Simen Kuf Nunches, which would mean, again, if I'm having a little piece of cookie or dipping it in milk, you don't wash on such a thing. Now, that being the case, we come back to the Seder and realize that there's a number of points about the Urchat in the Seder that are slightly questionable. And we need to explain. Number one. There is a machlokas we're going to see a little bit later on regarding karpas, but how much of the karpas you're supposed to eat. I'm sure we're all familiar with the very, very, very popular minhag, certainly the classic minhag as presented in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you eat karpas, you eat less than a kezayas of karpas. Okay? If that's the case, right, like the Shulchan Aruch says, then theoretically, one should not have to wash urchat when he's eating is less than a kezayas of karpas, because that doesn't fall under the rubric of a davashit tibulu b'mashke that requires an atilas yadayim. That's point number one. Now, let's back up for a couple of minutes, though. There's a, if one takes a poll of his chaverim, or you look in your own family minhagim, you'll find that there are two minhagim relating to the urchat that revolve on this issue that we just brought up. In many, many families, everybody washes the netilas yadayim before the karpas. You get up, you go to the sink, you wash, or somebody brings in washing cups for everybody at the table. Everybody washes before the urchats. In other families, only the balabayis is going to wash by the urchats, and everyone else sits down and doesn't wash. What's that based on? A couple of different things. Certainly one of them, though, is miyusad, is built on the issue that we just pointed out. Now, if we go like the Mechaber, that we eat less than a kezayas of the karpas, If you go like the mechaber, we eat less than a kazayis of the karpas. There's halachically no reason why everyone at the table would have to wash by urchat. You don't have to wash netilas yadayim on less than a kazayis. That's the halacha all across the year. That should be the halacha by Pesach as well. Why is the balabayis washing? Right? Why does he wash if nobody else is washing? And that would be based on the idea of making a heker, doing a shinui, doing something different by the seder. So that the children will come and ask questions, that will inspire conversation. Everyone will get into the seder, do something different. Hey, Dad, why are you washing? You don't wash the milk and cookies, Dad, you not from or whatever it is. And why are you washing all of a sudden over here? So Dad's his back. No, you stupid little kid. Right? When you're eating less than a kazayas, everybody knows you don't have to wash by Dovashit. Why wouldn't you surprise your father said back to you? By Dovashit, everyone knows that you don't wash if it's less than a kazayas. That's why you don't wash all year long. But because it's just to make a shinui, just to make a hecker, then you should ask a question, Jew with a little bit more Derech Eretz, please, next time. Right? That's what the father would say back. Now, on the other hand, there are those that are knowing, and we're going to discuss this when we get into karpas, to eat a kazayas by the karpas. You eat a full kazayas of whatever vegetable it is that you eat. Now, if you're doing that, if you're eating a kazayas by the karpas, and you're dipping it into the liquid, so then me'ikar adin, like we paskin, a person has to make sure to wash, but everyone has to make sure to wash at the table, because you have a dovashitibu l'bamashkin, more than a kazayas, you have to wash for such a thing. Now, most people do something, I shouldn't say most people, many people do something somewhat in between. Everyone washes for the urchats, everyone washes, but nevertheless you still eat less than a kazayas. So the partial explanation beyond that is again, just as a heker, right? There's no real halachic reason to be washing at that stage in the game. It's a heker, ba'alma, that's all it is. And whatchamacallit, so everyone gets up to wash to do something different, but there's no real like halachic requirement that everyone should get up and wash at that stage in the game.
What's the answer?
Huh?
The kids are going to ask, like, what are we washing for? How's that going to answer?
So the general response to all those kind of things, we do weird things to the kids at AS, is just that the children, keep the children up. We want them to be watching, to be guessing, like every stage in the game. There's no answer, I'm washing because there was Makas Bechoros. It has nothing to do with anything. It just it makes it exciting. It makes it different. Remember, your average 3-year-old gets very excited about washing an Adobe Shetibula Bamashke, right? So if you're doing that, the kids just, that's like, that's wild, Dad. Like, what's going on over here, right? So that we've lost a little bit of the excitement of living a life of halacha, but it's exciting. Nice. You see that? You see, take the cup and pour it over for someone's head, right? You get into that. You throw the whole thing across the table. You can get very, very, very into Netilas Yadayim. Now that's, for now at least, what we're going to deal with when it comes to Urchatz Agav. You know, so there are various minhagim in terms of, we'll call it Derech Eretz and table manners. You eat your karpas vegetable with a fork, with your finger. Be aware that, like we pointed out a second ago, foods that we definitionally always eat with a fork that we don't touch with our fingers, you don't have to wash the Netilas Yadayim on either. So it on a certain sense makes more sense to eat the karpas with your fingers and just pick it up and put it in. To explain a little bit more why Chazal are masaking to wash right before we eat the karpas. That's all the Akdama. The next stage of the seder, when it comes to the karpas itself. Moving right along, it's actually backwards in terms of the gemaras, but moving right along, the next stage in the seder is karpas. You have a mishnah. Karpas actually originates in a mishnah in Pesachim, and it's also a little bit of a tricky sugya. It's not so pashut, this little vegetable called the karpas. Mishnah tells me on Kuf Yadalim and Aleph and Pesachim, he viewed the fun of Metabo b'chazeres. They bring in front of the balabayas the chazeres to dip. Ad shemagila parperes apas, and this dip with the chazeres, with the lettuce, is brought out before you get to the maror, the parperes apas, the accompaniment to the bread. And that Mishnah, if you look at the Rishon, it means the maror. The maror is the vegetable you eat along with the matzah. This vegetable, this chazeres, the lettuce, is being eaten before you get up to the matzah and the maror. That's what we call karpas. You dip something before you actually get up to any other part of the meal. Now, you remember, right, just to follow along in the Seder, where we're up to, you had your Kiddush, we discussed last time the dinim of the Kiddush, you sit down to wash, all of a sudden you're having a vegetable, right? So everybody knows at this stage in the game that we're doing something that's out of whack. We're doing something absolutely abnormal. Every child knows there's a halach of Kiddush b'makom su'uda. The Kiddush has to be made right before you're washing. Halachically speaking, there should be as little hefsek as possible in between the suda and the kiddush. As soon as the kiddush is made, the ramah paskin that I'm not even supposed to speak. You get up, you go into the kitchen, you wash, everyone sits down as quick as you possibly can. Kiddush b'makom suda. Kid knows that also. The child knows that also. And all of a sudden, everything goes crazy. The crowd is going wild. The kid just can't handle this halachic aberration. Wait a minute. Kiddush b'makom suda. Right after you made kiddush, what are you washing for? You're sitting down having a vegetable in the middle of nowhere. It's pashut. You're not yotzei dad. Every little brisker kid knows that just doesn't work like that. This is a problem. And our brisker nerves can't handle such a thing. We are going crazy at this stage in the game. And that's the mindset that the Rishonim explain is supposed to be going on in terms of the kid's mind. At the Gemara asks, I'm jumping the gun a little bit in terms of the Maamar Komas you have in front of you. Look at number 2 over here, even though there was an Aleph Beis and Gimel and 1. The Gemara points out, the Gemara asks, the Ka'amish Treiti Buli Lamali, you want to know why do you have to wash twice? Why are you dipping the karpas and the salt water, whatever you dip it in, before you ate? Because exactly like we just said before, we want the kids to go wild. We want to do something to be abnormal by the Seder. And in order to keep the kids on their toes, we dafka want that halachic adrenaline to be pumping through their veins to make sure that the kids are awake and are aware and are amazed by what's going on. What's going on at the Seder? It's very, very strange. That's the background to the karpas. That's the entire shebang. Nothing more than that. Just go be on the wild side for one night out of the year. Do something strange. Be a little different. Don't have a classic Kiddush b'makom suda. You have a karpas vegetable before you have the suda. Now, we have to explain a little bit more what this karpas is all about. And there's three different sugyas that are discussed in the Rishonim relating to karpas. And we'll try and touch briefly upon all three. One of them is why exactly we eat karpas. We saw one shot in the Gemara, but there are Rishonim who suggest other ideas as well. The second issue that's there is how much of the karpas a person is chayiv to eat. Is there a shear for the karpas? And the third thing that's there, although we're going to do this one first just to get it out of the way, the third thing that's there is what exactly is the karpas supposed to be dipped into? Are there any halachos that govern the tibul of the karpas? Now, the Tosas brings a machlokas about this last point. You look in the Tosas over there in Kufidalam, a Beis Din Rasam, a Tabla of the Chazeres. So Tosas points out like this. If you look at the Mishnah that we quoted a second ago, the Mishnah says that after the karpas is brought out and everyone apparently eats the karpas, heviul afan of matzah chazeres charoses ushnei tafshil. Then you bring out the Seder plate. In other words, this is sugya unto itself, the role of the Seder plate at the Seder. When the Seder plate comes out, most of us don't really follow what it says over here in the Mishnah. Well, that's a separate sugya unto itself. When the Mishnah says the Seder plate with the charoses is brought out after the karpas is done. So Tosas is a very, very simple deek. It sounds from the Mishnah, if that's true, that the dipping that you're doing with the karpas is not supposed to be done in charoses. You don't dip the karpas in charoses. You dip it in something else. That's the sheet of the Rashbam. What do? Doesn't necessarily matter what you dip the charoses in. There are different menhagim. You dip it in vinegar. You dip it in salt water. The common meaning nowadays is to do salt water. That was the meaning of Rabbeinu Tam that Tosis brings, a zecher to the bechi, the tears, etc. that the Jews had. Whatever exactly the reason why. But we're knowing not to dip the karpas into charoses. That's the common custom today nowadays. Now, there's a discussion. The discussion back and forth, though, in the Rishonim, again, just time you should be aware of, about the vegetables that you use for the karpas. So there are scenarios that the Gemara discusses where a person doesn't have a lot of vegetables. He has to use the same lettuce for the karpas and for the mar. So in those cases, would he dip it in the charoses or not? Those are things we're not really going to get into. We're not going to get into right now. Not necessarily so nogeya to us. Let's jump into the issue of how much of the karpas is supposed to be eaten. What exactly we're supposed to do? How much of the karpas should be eaten? I take a look in the Rush. This is quoted in number 3 in Yomayim Bekomas. The Rush in Simon Chaf Hei of Meseches Pesachim. The Rush has a very famous formulation. I'm going to read you the Lush and the Rush. Everyone probably knows this anyway. It's quite famous. But the Rush, just read you the Lush and anyway. The Rush says like this. He says, Mishum de Mavarech al Achilas Mara. We're starting off talking about eating Mara. Since before you eat Mara, you make a bracha al Achilas Mara. We thank, we ask Hashem, and we talk about the mitzvah of eating Mara. Tzorach sheyokal kezayis. You have to eat a kezayis of the maror. De'ein achila b'fachos mi kezayis. Because there's no halachic eating less than a kezayis. And since we make a bracha about the eating of maror, we have to make a bracha on, we have to see eat a kezayis of maror. Says the Rush, listen carefully, about b'yurakos harishonos, but the very first vegetables that you're having, the karpas, shemavarech aleihem borei pri ha'adama ba'alma, all you're doing is just making a borei pri ha'adama. Now when you make a birkas hanenin, what's the halacha? What's the minimum shear for making a borei pri ha'adama? Huh? Anything, a kosher, there's no shear for that. So says the Rush, since you're ein mazkir and aleihem achila, since you don't mention the word eating at all, ein sarach mehem kezayis, there's no reason to go out of your way to eat a kezayis by the Mar, the Rush says, because there's no concept of achila, there's no mitzvah of achila per se, so you don't have to be makbitita kezayis. That's the sheet of the Rush. You take a look in the Rambam, in Perekes Halacha Beis of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam seems to have a different day. The Rambam says, Yemaskom Mavarech Borei Pri Adama, the Balabayas makes a bracha, Borei Pri Adama, Lokeach Yerek, he takes a vegetable, Metabolos of a Chazeres, he dips it in Charoses rather, V'ochel Kezayas, Huvachol Mesubin Imo, Kol Echad V'echad Ein Ochel Pachos Mekezayas. So says the Rambam, the Balabayas dips a karpas in the charoses, according to the Rambam, and everyone eats a kezayas of the karpas. You have machlokas, Rambam and Rush, kipshuto. If you see on your sheet of my Mekomis, there goes Maimonius on the Rambam, thinks the Rambam is a mistaken girsa, it's not supposed to be a kezayas, but lamaisa, the way the Rambam is printed, in most of the tfusim, most of the printings of the Rambam also have to eat a kezayas of the karpas. Right? Machlok is Rambam and Rush. Kezayas according to the Rambam, or less than a kezayas according to the Rush. Now what's that all about? Why exactly do we have such a debate? Now, what you see l'chora from the Rambam, without explaining why this has to be the case, but you see from the Rambam two things. The Rambam says, number one, you're eating a kezayas of the karpas. Number two, the Rambam also holds that you davke eat the karpas in charos. You dip the charoses, you dip the karpas into charoses. You see from the Rambam apparently that the takana of karpas, or the gedder of the takana, is meant to be a repetition of the mitzvah of mar. The shinui that you're doing is that the child also knows that the mar is supposed to be in after the suda begins, after the matzah. But you do all of the motions of mar over again. You do an achila, you dip in charos, you're doing everything in the wrong order. Right? That's according to the Rambam. The Rush, like we said before, and that's not the point of karpas at all. Like he looks like what the Gemara says, it's just to the kids to ask. That's all it is. It's not that we duplicate and we replicate the mitzvah of Mara over again to inspire the question. It's doing something odd. So Mela is no requirement to have a kezayis. There's a famous debate though, le'halacha, about this machlokas. What exactly we're supposed to do. We saw according to the Mechaber, what was the sheet of the Mechaber? Remember from earlier. What did the Mechaber say you have to eat? How much for karpas? Pachos mikezayis, according to the Mechaber. Now, the truth is that there's a halachic reason why the Mechaber would tell us to go out of your way to eat less than a kezayis. However, we should note over here that the Rush that we read before and seems to argue on the Mechaber. Remember the Rush's lashon was by the Yurakos HaRishonos, you ain't sorech lecho mehen kezayis. You don't have to eat a kezayis, but the Rush clearly implying that you could if you want. There's nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to eat a kezayis. Now the Mechaber on the other hand, Davka says that you take less than a kezayis. Yikach pachos me kezayis. Now what's that all about? The Rishonim discuss that the karpas might have an additional function as well. Might be an additional function to karpas beyond what the Gemara itself says of making a shinui, do something abnormal and odd for the kids. You take a look And it says in Pesachim Kuf Tesvavim and Aleph, again on the sheet in front of you, he quotes one of the Rishonim. Harav ben Yosef Tov Ilim, the Rabbi Yosef Tov Ilim Kasa Besidro, he wrote in his Seder and his Agada. It's in the form of a piyut, in a poem. The quote was like this: Loma Shar Yerokos Bo in Tchila. Why do we have Shar Yerokos? Why do we take a vegetable before the meal starts? Why do we have Kiddush? Liftor Chazeres Mi Bracha Ru'uyela. Says the Rabbi Yosef Tov Ilim, why do we take the karpas? To patter the chazeres, to patter the maror from the bracha that you should have made. What's he talking about over there? So here we have a very important concept, the halacha. Later on when we learn maror, we're going to see a machlokis in the Rishonim, whether or not the maror has to have a birkas hanen and be made before its consumption. We all know when we eat maror, we make an alachilas maror, the birkas a mitzvah, alachilas maror. You're doing a mitzvah with rabbanon bizman hazev eating maror. I have to make that bracha. The Rishonim debate whether or not you have to make a borei priya adama as well before you eat the maror. What's that issue about? So in a very, very simple sense, on the one hand, normally foods that we eat during the middle of a suda, we don't make any brachos on. However, we also know that foods that are not actually part of the suda, foods that are not part of the meal, that are just like superimposed on the meal, a dessert that's not really part of the meal at the end, it's just something that we do to, you know, to be fancy at the end, but you're not actually eating per se for satiation purposes, for achila purposes. So many of the Rishonim say, same thing is true by mar. No one wants to eat mar. You're not interested in eating lettuce, stam in the middle of nowhere. You eat your bread in the stam, you down a head of lettuce. That's like a little odd. What are you doing that for? It's just ceremonious. It's a mitzvah mar. But since it's not really part of the meal, it's just a halachic requirement, you have to make a barei pri adama on the mar. It's just stam, something that has nothing to do with anything. You have to make a bracha on the mar. Machlokas and Rishon. What do we do? As with all Suffolk brachos, we pass in the famous rule, Suffolk brachos v'hakel, we don't make a bracha. Says it ben Yosef Tov Ilim, not so quick. Chazal made a takana over here. They wanted you to make a bracha, borei pri adama, before the meal, in order davka to patter, to exempt the passable chiyuv of a borei pri adama that you would have on the mar. Take a potato, whatever exactly, eat a pepper, whatever the parsley, whatever the famous karpas things are, make a borei pri adama. Have in mind when you're making the bracha and agav, this is like lahalacha, the post can point out, the Mishnah Berurah and others quote, that one should remember to do this when he's making the borei pri adama on the karpas. Have in mind, like the Rabbeinu Yosef Tov Ilim, that Chazal made a takana here that we want you to do this in order davka to exempt the mar from the borei pri adama later on. Now you're eating it before the meal, it's obvious, you're mechuyav to make a birkas hananin, you go and make that bracha. The Tosafot some argues on that, as you see in the court. Velesa, that's not true. Da mishum ekei rabban. The Gemara says it's just to do something odd. There's no more of a consideration than that in the Gemara. So he argues on the Rabbeinu Yosef Tov Ilim. But that's the sheet of one of the Rishonim, that the point of the karpas is to patter the bracha borei pri adama on the mar. Now, let's stop and think a little bit over here. Let's stop and go through certain hilchos brachos issues. And there's a lot of hilchos brachos that comes up in the Seder. They're actually a little bit complicated throughout the Seder. What will be the halacha if a person ate let's go less than a kezayis first. A person eats less than a kezayis of his karpas, right? See, mechuyev to make a burn of fashas, a bracha achrona after the karpas. Yeah. Obviously not, he didn't eat a shir, right? So I made my borei pri adama, I'm not mechuyev in any bracha achrona, I wait throughout the Seder, I begin the meal, I have an outstanding borei pri adama that was already made in order to be motzi the chiyuv bracha on the mar, assuming that there is one later on. Fine and dandy. Let's say I ate more than a kezayis of the karpas, or a stam, I'm at a whatever meal on a normal weekday, I'm eating something and I have, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm eating chocolate before I sit down to make a sandwich, I had a kezayis already, and 20 minutes later I want to make a sandwich, sit down and wash and have a meal. Now, what's the halacha by there? Technically speaking, a person mechuyev to make a bracha achrona on that food, because that's not covered in the benching that you're going to be doing afterwards, because that had nothing to do with the washing. That was stam, a totally separate eating session that you had. Make a brand of fashas on your chocolate, go sit down and have a sandwich. The same thing the post can point out, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and as well as all of the other achronim, the same thing would be true when it comes to karpas. If a person had eaten the kezias of his karpas, technically speaking, he might be chayiv to make a bracha achrona right now. A little bit of a machlokas in the Rishonim. Again, you'll see that when you get later on in Mesechus brachas, what all those dinim are all about. A little bit of a machlokas, but the bottom line is you've caused a problem. Am I mechuyev to make a bracha achrona right now before I wash to take care of the requirement of a bracha achrona for that kezias that I just ate? We're okay with the problem that you set up for yourself? Then if you make that you have a kezias, you mechuyev in a bracha achrona. On the other hand, if you make it, you're canceling out the bur of pure dhamma that you made from the mar. On the other hand, if you don't make the bur nefashos and you want to rely on benching, it's not clear at all whether or not the benching is going to cover that food. And you ended up not making a bracha that you might have been chayiv to make. Yeah?
Isn't that like a bracha link to the mar during the meal?
Huh?
Isn't there, halachically, if you have some for a meal and you eat a similar type of food during the meal, then wouldn't birch mazim cover both?
Lav davka, that these are all machlokas and rishonim. Because there are a lot of Rishonim, again, the same thing. There are many Rishonim who hold that the Mar is part of the Suda. You don't make a Bar Nefeshes on that. In other words, there's a lot of like question marks when it comes to the Seder of the Seder, what exactly we're doing. So now, that with that consideration, and the Machaber in the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Noseh Kelam there explained, Davka tells you to eat less than a kezias of the karpas, to be mahadir, make sure to eat less than a kezias to avoid that problem. However, like we saw, the Rambam definitely argues on that. The Rush leaves open the option, right, to eat more than the kezias. And the truth is, there's a very, very famous Maral. The Maral Miprague brings a strong raya that a person might be mechuyev to eat a kezias of the karpas by the Seder, against the Psak and the Shulchan Aruch. What's the raya from the Maral? The Gemara has a discussion. We'll mention that because we've been learning brachos, so like you're a little bit familiar with this. The Gemara has a discussion about the concept of mitzvos srichos kavana. Right? We're all familiar with that. We learned it more than once. Mitzvos srichos kavana. Now, Gemara is like this, a scenario. What happens if a person only has one vegetable? He only has one head of lettuce, right? And he's going to be using lettuce for both the mar, and he's going to use lettuce for the karpas as well. Technically speaking, if you were to hold mitzvahs ein srichos kavana, when you ate your karpas already, what were you also mekayim already? The kind of mitzvah of mar. But there's a halacha that the mar dafka has to be done after you ate the matzah. So Gemara has a whole discussion on mitzvah srichos kavana and that, back and forth, a whole discussion in the Gemara. Right, that's a sugya over there in Kufta Svavim Sachem. Ask the Maral Miprague, and it is Agada, it's Perish on the Agada. L'chor HaKamar is a raya brura to the sheet of the Rambam that you have to eat a kezias by the karpas. Why? The whole issue in the Gemara, the only reason that the Gemara can come up with to say that you're not, that you're yotze, that you might not be yotze the mitzvah of Mar by karpas is what? Because mitzvos might be trichos kavana, you didn't have kavana, so maybe you're not yotze. It says the Mara, but the assumption in that Gemara is that whatever you did for the karpas was the mechanical pe'ula of doing the mitzvah of mar. That means you actually sat there and ate a kezayit. That's the assumption that the Gemara is making over there. And the only question is, are mitzvos trichos kavana or not? Did that count for mar as well, or in place of mar, etc.? That's the strong raya of the Maral Miprague, negative the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Pri Chadosh in his parish in Shulchan Aruch over there tries to answer the Raya, but Lamaisa, it's a very, very strong point. Now, Halacha Lamaisa, we all basically follow the minhag as brought by the Shulchan Aruch. If I had to guess, that's our parents' minhag as well, that we eat Pachos Mikazayas by the Karpas, and again with the Cheshbon that we gave before, and to explain why that's true. Even though, going back to the beginning of this year, when it comes to the Dovashit Tibula B'mashka, the Urchatz part of the Seder, it's not so partial why everyone would wash, right? So we explain, yeah, that's just a hekeira also, it's just Stam Ashinui that we're making, even though halachically there shouldn't be such a need to wash at that stage in the game. That's the standard psak. In the world of brisk, minhagim of the gra, etc., was davkid ide a kezayas by the karpas. And if you happen to be from a brisker family, I guess you would do that. But what?
Make a bracha achrona or not?
And then the Briskarov felt that you wouldn't make a bracha achrona. You eat a kizai shel karbas. You don't make a bracha achrona, and then you go into the mar, you know, and all of that. And it wasn't 100% clear what the cheshbon that he had was, but he said, "Don't worry about it. Just eat a kizayis, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine." That was his particular day. But that, in summary, is the urchat, the karpas section of the seder. Now, when it comes to Magid, which is sort of the next session, the Yachat and Magid go together. As you know, after Meirev, which we're continuing tonight, even though it's supposed to be every night after Meirev, we skipped a couple right at the beginning. But the Magid parts of the Seder we're doing, you know, after Meirev time, a little bit more Marichah. So that we're going to cover on a different note. So whatever you have in the sheet here in front of you, some of it's been discussed already. Much of it is yet to come. And those shiurim after Meirev, again, I'm definitely going to encourage everyone to try to attend. They are 100% like important in terms of knowing what's going on by the Magid. So which means they're going to pick up a Mirat Hashem next time tomorrow night to some of the inyanim related to Matzah. We'll continue with the Seder along with there. Actually, first we'll pick up a Halil tomorrow night. The Halil at the end of the Magid. Then moving on to the Matzah. We'll call it over here. Let's make it to Meirev actually in time today.